Well, good evening. My name is Philippa Sean, and you're welcome to City Trends. Coming up on the show today,
we are working to get more role models, women role models, for the next generation, so that this interview will not happen, because women in technology or women in STEM wouldn't be an issue, because there wouldn't be a gap, there wouldn't be a racial difference. Everybody would be on the same page.
President Mahama requested and we delivered. We check out an initiative that is driving more girls into technology.
When we ask people what is the internet or if they use the internet, they will probably say no. But then you ask them if they use Facebook, they say yes. So how can you use Facebook if you don't use the internet? So it's probably a matter of education. And in that sense, what we are trying to do is bundle Facebook together with other services that we think are important. Education services, health services, you know, communication services, anything that would constitute a great pack.
Facebook speaks to City Trends about their plans for Ghana and Africa. Also coming up, we have the most trending technology news from across the world, our apps for the week, and that is just the beginning. There's quite a lot to get through, so let's get going. My name is Philippa Sean, and you're welcome to City Trends once again. Be a part of the show via email, philippasean@cityfmonline.com, with your questions. Share your comments on Facebook and Twitter at City973, but remember, the hashtag is CityTrends.
Mr. Speaker, I want to see more females venture into ICT and telecom sector. Miss Farida Bedway, service to the nation on the board of the National Communications Authority, serves as an encouragement to many girls who are thinking of venturing into ICT and telecommunications.
That was the President of the Republic of Ghana, John Dramani Mahama, speaking in Parliament last week as he gave the State of the Nation address. In the next couple of editions of the show, we'll be looking at other aspects of what he said about ICT. But as we say, ladies first. According to the President, Ghana has been observing the Girls in ICT Day for quite a while. But I wondered if that was enough. What else can be done to get girls involved in the ICT movement? I heard about a group whose ultimate aim is to improve the statistics of African women pursuing science, technology, engineering, mathematics-related courses, and working in fields and areas like that. The group is called STEM Bees, and I caught up with co-founder and president Linda Ansong to share some more details about their program to get more girls into the technology space.
So STEM Bees is a non-profit organization, and our main focus is to bridge the gender gap in science, technology, engineering, and math. What we do is we train and empower young girls to pursue these fields. That's basically what we do.
Why the choice of these four?
Science, technology, engineering, and math affect our everyday lives, from the food we eat all the way to the roads we walk on and drive on, and even the phones we talk on. So I believe teaching kids and showing them what technology, science, engineering, and math is actually empowers them and opens their eyes and their creativity juices to be able to be better people in life. We had a launch with 30 girls from Kolegono Basic School. We tried to focus on the public schools because they don't have the resources and the right personnel to teach these subjects. So what we do is we go to these schools and we train the kids. Sometimes we train the teachers because they have access to these kids more often than we do. So we train them in science, technology, engineering, and math by having projects and workshops. So we had this two-day workshop where we taught them simple computer science tools using Microsoft Office, typing, simple coding things like HTML and CSS, as well as we did some engineering activities using toolkits like Makey Makey, where they made pianos out of bananas and guitars out of cardboards. I believe these kind of projects opens their minds and let your creative juices flow. Show them that you can do a lot of things with the little things you have.
What is the situation in Ghana currently in terms of the engagement of the female population in technology?
I'll use my personal experience. I was in the university, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, and I offered actuarial science. My co-founder, Angela, also offered civil engineering. In our individual classes, the ratio between girls and boys was terrible. My class was over 80, and we had less than 10 girls. And even not all of them graduated. Angela's ratio was even worse. We found ourselves at Meltwater Entrepreneurial School of Technology, a school that teaches software entrepreneurship, and the ratios were worse. So we thought, hey, it seems there's a problem. Not that women cannot do it. It's just that by default, we are not prone to doing these kind of subjects. So just telling them that, hey, you can do it. I'm a woman. I've done it. I'm doing it. So you can do it too. Just pushes that girl to say that, hey, I can do it. And so that's what we do. I don't think we are victims. I totally disagree with any person who says that women are being victimized and pushed away from these fields.
Okay, now some would say that the reason why this apparent or seeming situation of fewer women being involved in tech is because women are not pushing the envelope enough. And therefore, if you're not as visible as the male population, naturally, the male population will be seen more, and of course, they would have more role models for that matter. Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
Oh, I agree. I don't think, as I said, that women are victims or somebody who's pushing us behind. I just feel that by default, men are prone to these kind of courses. And so that is why this initiative is even in place. We are working to get more role models, women role models, for the next generation, so that this interview will not happen, because women in technology or women in STEM wouldn't be an issue, because there wouldn't be a gap, there wouldn't be a ratio difference, everybody would be on the same page. So that is what we are working towards, so that this conversation won't happen. The conversation will probably be, why are there more women in STEM than men? Mm. Yeah. Right now we are working on starting an after school program in Collegonal Basic School, Jack and Jill, and we work with younger women. So we work with women from YWCA. Just this January, between the 5th and the 10th, we had a camp, a 5-day camp, where we taught girls HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript to be able to build websites. We taught them how to build their own computer using the Raspberry Pi. We did wearable tech where they could make bracelets that light up using tools such as lily pads. So we have these workshops and projects and events. If you introduce a kid to something exciting, the kid gets really excited about it, and then you just stop, it's very difficult for the kid to carry it on. So what we're doing is the after school program to keep it continuous and keep the kids engaged, and hopefully they go into the university pursuing.
Some people argue that we already have elements of science, elements of engineering, mathematics. So what's the point?
Yeah, I agree. We do math in school. We do some kind of science. We do some ICT. But it's very theoretical. And these subjects are very far from theory. You have to practice. In talking to you, every project I spoke about, I told you that we did a project. We did something. We made piano out of bananas. So when the kid sees that, the kid did that, the kid actually used her fingers or her hands to do it, she would never forget it. But if she reads it in a book, or you show me that this is a keyboard, this is a monitor, this is a mouse, I mean, that is not technology. That is show and tell, in my opinion. So I believe that the way we can infuse them into our curriculum is making it more practical rather than theoretical.
More practical and less theory. Linda Ansong there speaking about getting more girls into the technology space. The show is City Trends, and your comments are welcome via email, philipashawn@cityfmonline.com. You can share your comments and your thoughts also on CityFM's Facebook and Twitter pages. But remember that the hashtag is CityTrends. Now, because we love our apps so much, we have a new segment on the show dedicated solely to it. We call it Apps. I will take it away.
Hi there. My name is Awo. Welcome to Apps. I don't want to discriminate, so I have one Android and one Apple app for you this week. for Android lovers, check out Quick Shortcut Maker. This might not be an app you use every day, but Quick Shortcut Maker has a few tricks up its sleeve that may be useful. It lets you create shortcuts to different areas of other apps. For instance, hidden settings pages quickly go into a specific app page or fiddling with your phone's settings. The app is free and allows you to search activity names within apps to narrow down what you're looking for. It's not the sexiest Android app, but it can be extremely useful in the right situation. For the iOS family, I bring you Postil. Postil is simply the best way to share your travel and holiday experiences with your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. The app enables you to easily create custom postcards using your own photos and a personalized message, then share them instantly through email, Facebook, or Twitter. It's the easiest and most unique way to create and share your travel memories. My name is Awo. Join me next week for more.
Very interesting apps there, Awo. Thank you so much. Every day, over 890 million people across the world log on to Facebook to either like a status or post a picture or share their video or even sometimes sell a product. The situation is no different in Africa because, according to the social media company, over 100 million people in Africa actively use a service every day, with about 80% of them coming from mobile phones. Facebook stepped it up a notch some weeks ago when they collaborated with Airtel to make access to Facebook free on the network. I caught up with the head of product partnerships for Facebook in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa to have a chat about what Facebook's plans for Africa are. His name is quite a mouthful, but I'll try anyway. Konstantinos Papamiltiadis. That's it. A true mouthful. I started by asking about what sort of applications people in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa usually develop on the Facebook platform.
There are several verticals, as I call them, or industries where they have built products specific for that needs that they are, for the problem that they are trying to solve. And for each one of those, there is a Facebook product that is suitable. So let's take an example that I'm very close to. Let's take apps like dating apps, right? So for dating apps, the most important thing is to provide an authentic identity for people that were actually login into a dating app and try to basically find a match. The Facebook profile data gives you a couple of things. First, it gives you depth of the data, right? You can tell what kind of likes that person has. Do they like artist A or artist B? Do they like movie B or movie C? And so on and so on. But at the same time, Facebook provides this kind of control and this kind of mechanism where the identity of that user is the real identity. So this is an actual person that has friends, that has traveled around the world, and it's somehow verified, right? So if you're actually looking at someone's profile on a dating app, and that other person has logged in with Facebook, you have a certain degree of confidence that this is a real person. And in that sense, there is a safety environment, or it's a safe environment for you to basically operate. Right. There are other apps that use Facebook for different reasons. Like in an e-commerce app, the identity and the authenticity of the identity is not necessarily something that was missing. Right? If you want to purchase something from an e-commerce site, you are going to give an address, a physical address, you are going to give a credit card, and so on and so on. So there is an authenticity in the account anyway. But the benefit of using Facebook in an environment like this is probably more to do with social elements, right? You can basically use Facebook within an e-commerce app to ask your friend for their opinion on the item that you are applying to you're trying to purchase, mm-hmm. right? So it's not necessarily that Facebook fits into a specific vertical. Facebook has enough products or enough APIs, since we're talking about developer products, to accommodate and fit into different use cases.
I see. What is Facebook's dream or Facebook's vision for the African continent? We recently have heard about internet.org and how people are able to access Facebook for free in some of the African countries. What exactly is a vision for Facebook for Africa?
So our vision overall, and it's not a vision that only applies to Africa, is to make the world more open and connected. But when you're talking about more open, then you assume that it's already connected, right? So when you're talking about Western Europe, the US, and other developed countries, then it's not a matter of connectivity, it's more a matter of openness. So our focus is in this kind of markets to basically make the society and our product open enough. But when you are talking about the developing world, when you're talking about Africa, Asia, certain parts of Asia, Latin America, I think we have a connectivity challenge before anything else. We cannot really, you know, build a product that will help people be open if they cannot even be connected in the first place. Right, so with Ethernet.org, and in particular with what we call Facebook Basic Services, we are trying to basically create what Mark calls the dial tone for the internet. We are trying basically to wrap up a set of services that we think are important for someone to have experience of the internet for the first time. When we ask people what is the internet or if they use the internet, they will probably say no. But then you ask them if they use Facebook, they say yes. So how can you use Facebook if you don't use the internet? So it's probably a matter of education. And in that sense, what we are trying to do is bundle Facebook together with other services that we think are important. They are education services, health services, you know, communication services, anything that would constitute a great pack that we try to make available through, you know, internet.org. So we launched it here. We launched it, I think, in 5 or 6 countries already. We launched it in Zambia here in Africa, and I think we have a few more countries where we can launch it to. But that is actually the entry point for people in this part of the world to connect to the internet and realize the potential, their own potential, the potential of their businesses, and maybe their kids and their families through that.
Is this also the reason why Facebook Lite, for example, has been pioneered or has been launched in some parts of Africa? Is this connected to it in any way?
I think Facebook Lite was like a predecessor of what we are trying to do here, right? And the reason we started doing that is because we realized that in terms of connectivity, 80-90% of this region has 2 or 3G coverage. But that's not necessarily good enough, because in essence, you may have, you know, signal on your phone, but if the capacity is not there, you cannot connect, right? So in reality, coverage is just one way to figure out if people have the potential to connect. The capacity is the second one. So by making the application as light as possible, we effectively allow more people to use the existing capacity of the network. If you use the same version of the application that I use in central London, then obviously the capacity is far, you know, more advanced. It's much more concentrated, right? So you have basically a geographic area of a few hundred meters that can be used by, you know, let's say thousands of people to do heavy stuff. But when we are talking about potentially African countries, then the capacity is spread across bigger geographies, right? So within those bigger geographies, more people may use their phones, and as such, they will have better or more requirements to download data. So if you use a heavy application in that scenario, you're going to basically kill the experience for everybody. If you make the application lighter, then you give everybody the opportunity within that geographic area to experience Facebook.
Interesting times ahead for Africa from Facebook, it would seem. Now, the show is City Trends, and my name is Philip Ashon. Based on your recommendations from last week's show, we have a new segment on City Trends dedicated to what is trending in the news relating to technology. We call it Trending. Gilbert Dada brings you the very latest in tech news around the world.
Samsung Electronics South Africa has delivered a solar-powered internet school, SPIS, to a secondary school in Mpumalanga. The unit comes completely self-contained with solar generators and wireless communication, providing unlimited access to technology, communication and information, as long as there is sunlight to power the solar panels, digital cellular networks or satellite connectivity. Twitter has begun giving publishers the ability to embed Twitter videos on their site, meaning YouTube and Facebook now have some new competition. YouTube has let publishers embed videos for years, but starting Monday, tweets on Twitter.com will have an embedded video market generator that publishers can copy and paste into their stories. The feature is under the More prompt, which leads you to generate HTML code. Samsung has officially announced the Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge smartphones. The Galaxy S6 has a flat display, metal frame, and glass front and back panels. Its counterpart, the S6 Edge, has all the above, but includes curve to the sides of its front and rear glass, giving it a distinctive character. The hallmarks of Samsung phones, such as removable batteries, micro SD, card slots, and waterproofing, are nowhere to be found on the S6 or S6 Edge.
Thank you, Gilbert. More tech news next week. The last item on the show has to do with net neutrality, or the idea that all traffic on the internet should be treated equally. The government in the United States has now classified the internet as a utility, just as it would electricity and power. But what does this all mean for the Ghanaian? How does it impact you? Emmanuel Ejinkra is co-founder of Ghana Internet Safety Foundation, an NGO dedicated to promoting safer internet for digital citizens in Ghana.
So they have a situation in America where for the last couple of years, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, was deliberating on how it should monitor internet usage, or the ISP, because the FCC by law wasn't legally mandated to oversee internet regulations or internet traffic in the US. So the recent ruling gives the FCC authority and power to regulate internet activities in the US, especially with the ISP. Now the whole concept or the whole idea about net neutrality is that internet should be free for everyone. That is the basic, assumption you could give to it. Internet should be free for everyone, irrespective of how much your money or how much you can afford to pay your ISP. Now, there are pros and cons to net neutrality, depending on where you stand. A lot of the American population want net neutrality to be enforced and net neutrality to stay. And this is how it works. You want to download or you want to watch a movie online, say from your favorite content provider, say Netflix, or say in African terms, Iroko. So you click on the movie and literally we call it buffering. At times you see that the movie is buffering. All this buffering process literally means that data is being downloaded for you to be able to watch the movie. So see this data as data packets, and these data packets are boxes, little boxes that has to be shipped to you for you to be able to watch the movie. But first is that these data packets must be shipped to a certain facility, just like when you post something through DHL, it goes to a certain facility and a certain facility will ship it to your address. So all these data packets goes to a certain facility, and the certain facility in this term is your ISP. Now the problem is that some people or another group in the U.S. is saying that when it gets to the sorting facility, depending on how much you pay, your packet or your box will be moved faster. So if you can pay a premium or a higher amount of money, then they will ship your packet to you faster than the others. You go there and you want to stream a video, and you realize that they tell you to pay a premium to get it at a faster speed. If you don't want to pay the premium, then the rate at which the movie streams is very slow. That scenario is not net neutrality. Net neutrality will say that whether I pay or not, the movie should stream perfectly. Well, if you bring it to the Ghanaian context, you realize that over the past few years, according to available statistics, internet penetration is now about 14% as of 2014. This is from ITU data or research, which suggests that 1 in 7 Ghanaians now have access to the internet. This is good. That means that progressively as we move forward, internet penetration will increase. And you also realize that as internet penetration is increasing, you are having a lot of side issues that are attached to it, like content development, accessibility, ICT for development solutions. Assuming that net neutrality becomes an issue in Ghana and it is not dealt or handled appropriately, it's going to stifle some of these things like innovation, content delivery, penetration. And when you look at the dynamic, you always realize that the ISPs at some point will benefit because they will look at the money or the financial resources that will accrue to them. So net neutrality in the Ghanaian context should be something that all Ghanaians must insist on for equal access to internet connectivity at a very good speed. Imagine all the telcos or all the ISPs in Ghana, you know, running some form of, you know, data capping. Even though we are seeing it now, assuming they take it to the extreme and they increase their rate, the people in faraway Volta region, the people in the remotest areas in the northern region with their mobile phones cannot have access to mobile or internet connectivity because then it will be too expensive. So in the Ghanaian context, we must make sure that net neutrality is enforced. Internet for all at an appreciable speed, equal speed, and at an appreciable price so that we then differentiate that, for example, CTFM probably has the financial muscle to pay more for a better speed. And say my radio station, assuming I have a radio station, I don't have that financial muscle. If we are all streaming our radio programs online, CTFM will be heard more reliably than my radio station. So then there's a discrepancy. So it's like capitalism. Those companies that can pay more will get reliable speed, and if you can't pay more, you are still cost. You won't get chance. I think Ghana is one of the countries that internet is very open. I mean, from all angles, in terms of content delivery. If you compare Ghana to a state like North Korea or say the Chinese or say the Russians, where internet content or internet traffic is really monitored, then Ghana is way miles ahead. I mean, you could develop your own content, and it doesn't necessarily infringe on certain constitutional rules, you know, in Ghana, then you are free to go. You can create your own blog, you can create your own content that will enhance development, that will make you be heard outside on your opinions or issues, and you wouldn't be chased down for it, so far as it doesn't infringe on the law. So internet openness in Ghana or open data accessibility in Ghana, it's about okay, but we can do better as a nation.
Well, that's it for today's edition of City Trends. I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to share your thoughts on the show by sending me an email, philipashon@ctfmonline.com. Your comments are also welcome on CTFM's Facebook and Twitter pages, and the hashtag is City Trends. Many thanks to Emmanuel Adinkra, Linda Angsong, and Constantinos for their contributions on the show today. Tune in same time next week for another edition. Remember to stay relevant. The technology.